All right. So we've been doing a series on refocus. And today we're going to talk a little bit about community and part of that. How many people here like potlucks? Love potlucks? Oh, quite a few people. Nice. Wow. That's pretty good. If you grew up in church culture at all, you've probably been like 500 potlucks. And yeah, it's an interesting variety. I mean, it's kind of like a church thing. I don't think I've been to many places, non-church events that have been potlucks. But it's kind of a cool thing because everybody just brings something to share. And you never really know what you're going to end up with. I mean, you might end up with like 100 potato salads or like all desserts and nothing else. Or you never know. It's just kind of this variety of let's just see what happens. See what shows up. And then, yeah, I mean, you usually go, Lord, help there be something that I like, something that I really like. Let it be good. Let it not all be fish because I'm tired of fish. So you never know what's going to show up there for a potluck. And I think it's kind of a good symbol of church itself, because church itself is kind of that same idea of a potluck. It's all this variety that all of us have here that we come and we bring into the church body. And we get to enjoy together and partake of together. We don't need each other, sorry. But we all get to come together and bring what God has given us, the stories, the testimonies, the gifts, all of that stuff that God's given us. And it brings it together here where we can all enjoy it, all partake of it. And it's a beautiful thing. So don't be ashamed if you're just potato salad, because there's a lot of people that love potato salad. So there's a variety here. So I get to talk about community. And refocusing on community. And community is huge to me. I was blessed to be able to do this. I actually got a pick a little bit, and I'm like, oh, I want that one. Because community is huge today, because I am a believer because of the community of Christ. When I started attending a college probably 5 or so years ago, give or take a few decades or something like that. But when I was attending college, I went to a college where I knew nobody. Really, I mean, it was just a blank start and just no community, nothing. And by God's grace, he plugged me into this community, and I wasn't a believer. And I just, looking around and seeing this community, I was like, wow, I want to be a part of that. And that's what drew me to Christ more than anything else, was seeing the beauty of that community, the joy, the relationships, the depth, the acceptance, the love that was there. Made all the difference in my life, and it's changed my life. And I'm blessed by that community. And because of that, my wife and I have been involved in life groups ever since. I mean, well, because we'll talk about those as we go, but we've been involved in life groups since we got saved 5 or so years ago in college. And so it's huge. So my big idea today in all of this is that community is God's design to build his church, both individually and corporately. Community is God's design to build his church. And we're going to be in 1 Corinthians 12. Miss Sarah is going to read that for us. So 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27.
1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. But if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. And there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now, you are the body of Christ and individually members of it.
All right, thank you, Sarah. So we're going to be looking at three things today. We're going to talk about God's design for community. What does it look like? The challenges of community, because it ain't perfect. And then what community looks like here at CCC. So those are things we're going to dive into. But let's pray before we do that. Father, we just thank you for your word and for your truth, Lord. And we thank you for the gift of community. And Lord, I pray that as we dive into that today and explore that topic, Lord, that you would just open our eyes, Father. That you would just incline our hearts. Give us a love for your church, Lord, and all its imperfections. And Father, just open our eyes, Lord, to see how we can be more a part of the community that you've given us here at this church. And we just thank you for this church, Lord, and for the members of it. Lord, draw our hearts to you, Lord. Open our eyes to your truth today, Father God. And mold us and shape us more in your image. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. So, first of all, we're talking about God's design for community. God's design for community. And we see this in the first part of this passage. For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. We were all baptized into one body and to drink of one spirit. See, God, when we become saved, God plugs us in to this community that is called the church. We don't have an option. God just plugs us into that community called the church because of the unity of the faith that we have. Now we're all interconnected and dependent on each other. And we see in this, and we'll talk about it, community isn't an option in Christianity. Community is not an option. See, if you look at it, the whole context of 1 Corinthians 12 is community. It's talking about the body, how the gifts we use and we serve each other, and how God has individually molded and shaped us to be a part of the community that God's planted us in. It's all talking about when we meet together. There's no biblical examples that we have of any Lone Ranger Christianity. As we've talked about, there are people that I just do church by myself and I just seek God by myself. That's not what the Bible is talking about anywhere. All of this is the body, the community that God has placed us in. All the epistles, the letters that were written, they were written to churches. And if they weren't written to churches, they were read in churches. And they were about churches. Revelation was written to seven churches. It was all about churches. And if we jump into Acts 2, where it talks about the early church, and you see, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, the community, to the breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the needs to any as had need, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking the bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. We see in there over and over again, they together, because it was this community. And man, they were just as one, united. And God was blessing that and building that and growing that. You see, community is hugely important to God, hugely important. Jump back with me. We're going to look in John 17. So this is Jesus' prayer, basically, where he prays to God shortly before his betrayal and death. And we're looking at verses 20 through 23. This is Jesus praying, I do not ask for these only, talking about his disciples, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may be one in that they may be in us, so the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. In them and you and me, in them, I in them, and you and me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you have sent me, and loved them even as you loved me." You notice one word in there standing out, right? What's one? What's the word? One, over and over again. One, one, one. You see, the amazing thing is community is supposed to be a reflection of the Trinity of God. As I and the Father are one, so may the community of God be one. And you see in there, be one, be one, be perfectly one. You see, if God says something, man, we better stand up, pay attention, and obey. If God says something twice, man, we need to take a lot of notes, rewrite it, do a Bible study on it, sermon topic on it. When God says something three times, oh, Lord, help us. We better not forget that. And that's what he's doing in here. Be one, be one, be perfectly one. Over and over and over again. Do you think being one in unity means something to God? It's huge. It's huge. And in there, he says in there, that we might, that the church might be one even as we are one, talking to his Father God, that the church might have the unity that Jesus and God have. I can't comprehend the unity that Jesus and God have, but I bet it's pretty good. So I'm like, wow, Lord, help us to be like that. Man, that is a high calling. That's a crazy high calling. And in there it says that they may be one, just as you, the Father, are in me, and I in you, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. You see, our unity, our togetherness, our community is supposed to point people to the gospel, to who Jesus is. Does it? Does it? And I praise God for our church. Man, I mean, Lord knows we are not a perfect church, but God has blessed us with a great community. And man, that has been a light to many people, myself included. So you get the idea in here. Community is hugely important to God, and it should be to us as well. Should be to us as well. So what does that community look like? What does it look like? So we're jumping back into 2 Corinthians, or 1 Corinthians here. And he talks about this, I mean, he's using the analogy of the body, like looking at a human body and all the parts of the body and how they work together and how they're united together, how each member has a place, to a purpose in building God's church. You see in that in verse 14, "For the body does not consist of one member, but of many." You see, there's these individuals with unique talents and with unique gifts and personalities, but they're all connected, physically connected as one. And each member is important, hugely important to the overall functioning of the body. Each member is connected to the overall functioning of the body. I was thinking about it, it's kind of like a piano in there. I mean, all of the keys, I mean, you just hit one repeatedly like some of my kids like to do sometimes. It's really obnoxious. But man, when you get somebody who knows what they're doing and they put all those keys together and play it, it's beautiful. It's awesome. And that's how it should be with the church of God. We all have a different note. We're all a different key. And man, by ourselves, we might not sound that great, but together, man, we can sound awesome. Because as part of this community, each of us has something to give and something that we need all the time. All the time, each of us has something that we can give out. And each of us needs something. All the time we're in that spot of giving and receiving and giving and receiving. And that's the way it should be. When I was thinking about it, I was thinking of a group I was a part of one time, and there was one guy in there sharing this struggle that he was going through. And I was a leader of the group, and he's sharing this struggle, and I'm like, I got nothing. Lord help you. Can I just pray for you or something? I'm like, I had no advice, nothing to give him. I'm like, no idea. And then one other guy in the group chimed up, and he was a new believer, didn't talk a whole lot, but he chimed up and he shared this story from his own life and something that had happened to him and how it, and what God had done and showed him through this. And it was awesome. It was perfect. It was like, what he said. Amen to that. And it was great, and that's the way it's supposed to be. I mean, no matter if we're new in the faith or we've been a Christian for 50 years, man, we all have something to give because of who God has made us and the story that he's given us. It's pretty cool to see, honestly, all those stories knit together. I mean, even thinking of Darius and his story, I mean, as a Mormon, you might feel bad for all those years that he missed out, but that's the story that God's given him. And God will use that story as he plugs into a body and will use that story to make him minister to others. I guarantee it. You see, as part of this body, we need each other. The body needs each other. And we need you guys, to be a part of this body and me. I love in verse 18, and here he says, "But as it is, God has arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. God put together this body. God equipped us and set us up for this spot." And we see it again in verse 24. "But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it. God composed the body. God put it together. This is God's work, that he has put it together so that there would be no division and more care. A while back, I had my appendix taken out, so I'm missing a part of my body. And I'll survive. I mean, I'm fine. But, I mean, you read it up and study it out, and I mean, other parts of the body have to work a little bit harder then, and there's some issues that could come up out of it. So other parts have to work harder because I'm missing this. We're all part of the church of Christ. Personally, I don't want to work harder. I mean, honestly, I need you guys. We need each other's giftings so we can balance, share that load of ministry and share the load of carrying the church of God. We need each other. God has placed each one of you guys here with your gifts, your unique story, your history, for your role to play in this church. And Christ is the head of that. He's the one that puts everything together. And as we submit that, who we are, our gifts and our story, our brokenness, everything to him, God puts that together, composes it into this beautiful thing where we strengthen and nourish and encourage each other. And if you look in there, 25 and 26, he talks about the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And that's why we need to get to know each other. Open mic, community, life groups, things like that, so we can know each other's sufferings and rejoicings and be a part of those. Jumping all the way back to Ecclesiastes in there. Ecclesiastes 4:9. He says, "Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. If they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has no other to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken." See, we need that community to help each other stand. That's how God set us up. If we're alone, we're like that straggler that the lions jump after and attack. But man, together we're strong, we're united. You see those cool pictures of like some buffaloes in Africa, and they like make this circle basically. So all their horns are facing outward, so there's no weak spot in there. And man, that's how it should be. We should be standing around each other and strengthening each other, guarding each other's back, watching out for each other. And we got to share our struggles. We're not trying to fight alone. We need each other to get out of these. We need that accountability to get out of bad habits and into good habits. To not neglect a meeting together, lest we start to drift. To call us out when we need to be called out on our sin issues and our struggles. And that's the beauty here. We're all peers here. We're all peers anybody up here on the stage to anybody just walking in the door. We all have our sin issues and struggles. Some are more apparent than others, but man, we all have them. And the church in the end is just a bunch of us with all these issues and struggles that are desperate to grow in Jesus by his grace, and we need each other's help to do it. That's what the church is. Man, so don't feel like you don't have anything to give, because we need you. I can't think of how many times God has used the people in this church to help minister to me and strengthen me and help change and shape me. All the habits that God has been able to break off from my life that were bad, and the devotional life that I have now, is because of the community coming around me. That accountability and encouragement has meant everything to me. So that's the blessings of community. And we wish it was like the happily ever after story, like everything's great and good after that. But if you've been around community for a while, it's got challenges. So that's where we're taking a minute to talk about the challenges of community. And I'm just going to dive into three of these quick, But there's a lot more than that too. But so first of all, it takes time. Community takes time. It's time to attend meetings, time to attend gatherings, time to, and using our gifts to serve, to be involved in it. It takes time. There's no lying that. And we all have busy schedules. I mean, my wife and I usually like compete with each other about, oh, what's your day like tomorrow? Oh, you've got this, I've got this. And there's this competition sometimes in there. Who's busier? Who's busier? And we're all busy. And just when you think you're not busy, something else happens. You talk to like college kids and they're like, I'm so busy. You're like, you don't even know what busy is. You don't have kids. There's just always a stage, and I'm probably like, I'm really busy. I feel busy. And then there's somebody else out there who's like, you're not busy. You don't know what busy is. We all have our own definition of what busy looks like. But in the end, we're all busy, one way, shape, or form. I was reading this statistic. 48% of churchgoers attend an average of once a month. About half the churchgoers attend an average of once a month. That's not community. You can't do community with that. So it begs the question, when is it okay to miss church and life group? When church or life group or other meeting, when's it okay? Do we need to go every time or are we in sin? What is it? I mean, Hebrews says, do not neglect the meeting together, as is the habit of some. What's the line in there? I don't know. It'd be great if the Bible had like a really clear one. If thou Saturday hath been busieth, and thou did not sleepeth enough, or thy temperature is 99 degrees or higher. Something like that would be great, like a just solid guideline, like, okay, check, check, check. Okay, we're staying home, honey. But it's not that way. I mean, it's all of us have to figure that out. And I'm not trying to be up here and say, oh, you need to do this or that. In the end, my heart is just to say, we should not take missing these events lightly. Be it life group, be it church, don't take missing it lightly. Don't be like, I just don't feel like going today. Don't take it lightly. Make it the rare exception and not the norm. The rare exception and not the norm. You see, you need community because of how God has created you. And the community needs you because how God has created you. All right? We need community desperately. Second challenge that we have in there, it takes vulnerability. It takes vulnerability, and we need to be willing to open up. James 5:16 says, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other. And this is hard. This is hard. Being open and honest, it's hard. Man, I struggle with it. I struggle. I mean, that was really hard for me, especially as a new believer. Now my wife, if you're married, my wife's been dragging it out of me slowly over the years. And by God's grace, I'm growing in it. But it's hard. But we need that accountability to share our struggles, our issues, our feelings, our doubts. That is how we get connected. And that's how we can help each other. I can't help you if I don't know what you're going through. It'd be awesome if we were all so spirit-led that I could just be like, you're struggling with anger, aren't you? Okay, we'll deal with that. That'd be awesome, but I mean, honestly, that's not usually how it works. It's as we share, as we talk, and as we come together, that's how it happens, that community. We need that community to fight sin and to persevere, to share with each other. We get out of community what we put into it. If we're willing to go deep, we will grow deeply. If we're willing to go deep. If we keep it surface level, man, don't be surprised, not a lot's going to happen. But man, go deep and let God use his church to minister to you there. I see so many people that just are, they will come to church for a little bit and be around and then they'll leave. And they're like, nobody really connected with me and nothing happened. And yeah, I mean, sometimes, man, we should have been more proactive. But a lot of times, like, man, they've got to engage too. It's this two-way street. We put into it, or we get out of what we put into it. That deeper sharing is that deeper connection and growth. And then the third thing in there is it will produce conflict. Community will produce conflict. My least favorite one. Because it's full of people. Yes, that's the joy of community. It's full of people. That's the hard part of it. I mean, this church was probably great until I came into it. But I'm a person, and I got issues. I mean, all of us have our issues and our struggles and everything. That's why I think John 17 in the epistles talks so much about unity. Because it's hard. It's hard. It's not just being physically present together to be one. It's this unity that comes in there, and it's messy at times. If you haven't experienced it, you just haven't been in church long enough. Constantly in the epistles, Paul's dealing with these issues and with these challenges because there's different parts of the body. There's different parts of the body, and that creates, there's difference, so it creates challenges. And if you don't know, I mean, CCC, this church, it's a non-denominational church. And if you don't know what that means, basically it means it's open to Christians of any church background. And man, we have that. We have that, a huge variety of backgrounds, of different ways people got saved and different churches they've come from. And it leads to this huge variety of opinions and preferences and beliefs on what they think church should look like. And that's why we do the Nicene Creed regularly, so that we can reaffirm what we all stand behind and believe and support. But I strongly believe that all this diversity makes us stronger as a church. God willing, makes us more balanced as a church. And it comes as we understand and value each other's opinions while holding to that biblical truth. We have things we don't compromise. But man, in that, it's understanding and valuing each other. And how we deal with that conflict when it comes up. The easy solution when the conflict comes up is just to walk away. I mean, you break off communication with that person, you leave the church, you walk away. That's the easy solution. That's the easy solution. But that's not commitment. You see, I know many that leave the church because they've been hurt by the church in one way, shape, or form. And please take me seriously when I say I'm not trying to make light of that in any way, shape, or form. There have been horrendous things that have happened that the church has done. And if you've been in church any length of time, it will happen to you. I know it's happened to me over the years. And how we handle these conflicts and these issues when they come up will define who we are as people and as a church. You see, we always have to strive for unity and fight for unity. It doesn't just happen. I wish it did. And unity will always have a cost. Usually that cost is our pride and our selfishness. Because God uses all of that to mold and shape us. Proverbs 27:27 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. So it's a picture of this friction. But the end product is the goal. It's our discipleship. That's the goal. See, there's this fight that we have to go through to maintain that unity. Are we willing to fight that? What I always love, and I didn't really think about it until I was working on this sermon, is what comes after 1 Corinthians 12? Anybody remember? People don't know? 13, which is about love. I don't think that was an accident. Nothing ever is in the Bible. But it is so true. Love, because that's the basis of it. I want to read this to you. This is, many of you guys might know this. This 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 7. And I'm going to read this, but think of it in the context of church community. Because then when I did that, preparing for this, took on a whole different meaning. Love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. In order for community to happen, in addition to biblical truth, love must be the basis of it. We must love each other enough to fight for unity, to fight through these challenges, to fight through these struggles, not to just give up, but man, to go talk to people, to seek healing, to seek reconciliation, to try to sort it out, to figure it out. True love is that commitment to strive to fight for unity, all right? So community at CCC, that's the last one we're diving into here. What does community at CCC look like? And this is the discipleship path that David has talked about. There's the macro part of it, and that's the Sunday mornings. That's here. That's here. This is the main Sunday school and the main church service where we get to partake of that biblical teaching. I mean, devoted to the apostles' teaching, where we get to hear the word taught, and preached and gained from that, where we get to partake of community worship, as we were sharing about an open mic. I love that. I mean, I love being at worship and looking behind me and looking around me, and people will think, oh, he's not even worshiping. But honestly, I just love looking back and seeing people engaged in worship and singing and hands lifted up. Oh, man, that excites my spirit. It really does. I love seeing that. Partaking of community prayer. I mean, praying for each other at the open mic, individually and corporately. It's a chance to use our gifts. Again, we're coming to the potluck. We're not just coming empty, but we're coming with something to bring, something to give. And that's for people, I mean, whether you're in worship or greeters or the coffee bar or the coffee or prayer, whatever it is, even if you're not in any of those, man, encouraging each other, greeting new people, greeting each other. Man, that's a part of church, using our gifts. It's a chance to see what God's doing on the larger level of the church and a chance to connect with the larger body. And that's what builds the jumping off into life groups, like Gretchen was talking about before, where there's that deeper, more intimate fellowship in the life groups of commitment and getting to know each other. That deeper level of fellowship, be it one-on-one or whatever it is, the greater depth of relationship, praying for each other, holding each other accountable. Again, it's knowing each other and growing together with each other, knowing our strengths and our weaknesses, and helping build each other up and encourage each other. And my prayer in all of this is that none of this community would ever be a clique. And that's what God's heart for it is too. But that it would be, again, in John 17, the purpose of community is to point people to Jesus. That's what we all come together in our unity, our togetherness, we should point people to Jesus. And that's not just for us to enjoy, but it's for us to invite other people in to partake of that. Like I did when I jumped into college, the world desperately needs that type of community, encouraging and loving and committed and supported. Man, and we need to invite others to come and be a part of it, not just hoard it to ourselves. We all desperately need it, and let's invite others who desperately need it too. So as we wrap up, I found this poem that I wanted to share with us. And it's called, If You Want to Kill a Church. If You Want to Kill a Church. Very cheerful poem. If you want to kill a church, listen to it for a minute. Never go to your church or meetings held there. If you do go, be late. It's no one's affair. If the weather is bad, either too hot or snowing, not too hot here, just stay home and rest, for there'll be others going. But should you attend, be sure and remember to find fault with the work, each official and member. Be sure to hold back on your offerings and tithes. The bills will be paid by the rest of the guys. And never take office if offered the post, but eagerly criticize the work of the host. If not on a committee, you're placed. Be sore. If you find that you are, don't attend anymore. When asked your opinion on this or that, have nothing to say. Turn them down flat. Then after the meeting, shine out like the sun by telling the folks how it should have been done. Don't do any more than you possibly can. Leave the work for some other woman or man. And when you see faithful ones work themselves sick, then stand up and holler, it's run by a clique. It's a good one to laugh at, but honestly, it's like reading it like, ouch. That's a good way to kill a church. But I was thinking, how flipping that around, how to grow a church. I mean, by faithful attendance, by thanking those who are involved in putting it together, thanking the leadership, thanking those serving, by giving of our time and our talents and our resources and tithes, by being a part of serving, not just expecting everybody else to carry the load, but recognizing what member I am in the body and what I have to bring. And if you need help with that, man, others will help you figure out where you can serve because we need you. By giving respectful feedback, not critiquing, but man, giving respectful feedback, because Lord knows we are far from perfect. And we welcome feedback if done in respect and love. So the question is, how does God want to use you to build his church? Again, we get out of community what we put into it. We get out of it what we put into it. And you need community by God's design. So here's a few questions to ponder that we'll put up in there. to think over. So the first one is, are you committed to a solid community of believers? Are you committed? Are you committed? Are you willing to fight for it? Not just maybe attending most of the time, but are you committed to it? Willing to fight for it? And how can you be a part, or how can you grow in being a part of that community? Again, not just attending, but what can I give? What can I bring? What can I share with who God has made you? Again, ask. If you're not sure, ask. We all have gifts and things to bring. And are you sharing deeply? Are you opening up? Are you letting others get to know you so they can help you grow and help you fight the battles that I know we're all experiencing? And then third of all, who can you invite to come and share in this community? Who can you invite to come and share and be a part of it? So I want to welcome up the worship teams and communion teams and the prayer team over on the side too. And communion's awesome. I'm glad we get to do this every Sunday. And I'm glad we get to do it this Sunday too, because communion, this is what was typically eaten in the early church that we read about, breaking their bread from house to house. I mean, they were doing it together as this community, partaking of communion, because it was a sign of their unity and a sign of their unity in following Christ, a sign of we're united in the gospel. And the gospel is what we get to celebrate in communion. It's the remembrance of our Christ, our Savior, who loved us so much that he gave his life, that he died on the cross, that he took the penalty for sin that we deserve, that punishment for sin that we deserve, that he took it upon himself, suffered that, and in his power and glory rose from the dead, paving the way for us to experience eternal life with him. And that's what we get to experience and partake of together in unity as a body, remembering what Christ has done for us. So as the worship team plays, I encourage you to come up and partake of communion together. Remember what Christ has done, what Christ has built, and what he has set up in your own life. Thank you who are a part and who serve in this body. And man, it is a blessing and a privilege to be in this community with you guys. I'm blessed and humbled by the opportunity to be in this community with all of my own brokenness and issues and all of ours. What a privilege it is to be able to serve Christ and grow in Christ along with you guys. I don't take that lightly, and none of us should. It's a blessing to be a part of it. So I'm going to pray quick for all of us, just for that unity and that growth in Christ. Father, I just thank you for your church. Thank you for how you've designed it, Lord God, and the beauty and glory of it, Lord. In all our imperfections, Father, you have built something beautiful. And Father, I just pray, Father, for this body, that you continue to grow it. Lord, as every member comes and contributes for how you have made them, Lord, and the stories that you've given them, Lord, that you would continue to build something beautiful. Lord, in love and grace and truth, Father, I pray that you would help us by your Spirit to overcome all the obstacles and challenges to that community, Lord. And by your grace, Lord, that you would build your church and grow it, that you might be glorified in it. In Jesus' name, and all those people said, amen. Amen. Lord bless you guys. Go in peace and have an amazing weekend.